It's the Beckler and Shauna podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes. Offering affordable customization on your new home.
It's Wednesday. Nice. I shut the door with just the amount of weight so it stays
that
shut.
That doesn't happen often. For those of you, this door is a piece of crap. It's coming off the hinges.
Very precise touch. Mm-hmm. Very precise touch.
And you have to, yes, you nailed it. Anyway, great. Good work.
It's Wednesday.
Wednesday.
April 10th, 2024. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
This is the Beckler and Shauna Piss Cast. Mm-hmm. You know, we've run some long piss casts recently.
Good.
Yesterday's was like 42 minutes, of course, of being career day, longer interview.
We've been drinking a lot of water, okay? Longer pisses.
So we'll skip all the formalities here at the beginning and just get right into the piss. This is your out-of-context clip of today's show.
Podcast. What would you say, Beckler, is the dirtiest sport?
The dirtiest sport? As in, like physically dirty? Like, roughest? Like,
as in, like, yeah. Doing things, you know, a little under the radar. Kind of being... I mean, you could also talk about physically dirty sports. I'm intrigued by your answer to that one as well.
That's what I meant, sort of. Like, yeah, like, trying to skirt the rules.
Yeah.
Play, okay.
Sports where you kind of, it's almost allowed or you can let it slide more. Or I was chatting with some friends about this.
Are you talking about during the game? So not like corruption outside of it.
Yes.
You're talking about during gameplay.
During gameplay.
Well, I mean, like, lacrosse is super rough, but it's within the rules.
Yeah.
Which so is I wouldn't
true.
Say that.
Yeah.
I know this is a strange answer, but I've heard that water polo is vicious under the water.
Yeah.
And you can get away with all sorts of stuff under the water. I've never played water polo myself.
Nope.
But I've heard that it's very, very rough and dirty underneath the water.
It's hilarious you bring this up because I have a friend who used to water polo. I don't even know how you describe it that way, but you have to wear more than one bathing suit.
Right, because they'll try
and rip one off. So she was saying that she sometimes would wear two or three different bathing suits because A, it would help protect an extra layer, and also when people were trying to rip them off, then you would also be using. Yeah, I've heard that as well.
There's a documentary called Blood in the Water, and it was about
water polo and how greasy it is.
Yeah, but
that's hilarious. But would that be dirtier than boxing or MMA, like those kinds of sports?
I mean, it's not easy to get away with dirty stuff because
I suppose
all eyes are on the two fighters, including that of the refs. So
I've also heard cycling is really, really dirty.
Really?
Because when you're in a pack of, you know, at certain points when there are that many people all at once, like people will do some really, really dirty things to try and push you away or get you out of the way, which is nuts. And
I believe
seen,
it.
I don't know if you've seen some of those mass,
the
you
pileups.
Know, and it's awful. Like people get really, really hurt in those.
I mean, hockey is dirty because the game is so fast and there's only two officials on the ice who can call penalties and all the stuff that goes on behind the play.
Yep.
All like the hacking and.
It's true.
You know, like. When I played basketball, one of my teammates used to, when he was guarding someone, he would like pinch at their back fat.
Oh my God.
And he just drive them crazy because they don't see that.
No. And this is how this discussion got started with a friend and I, because they were telling me, and I forget what country it is now, but they were saying that playing basketball in this country is an entirely different ball game because it is fine to be dirty and they don't call any of it.
Is it the Philippines?
It might be the Philippines.
Basketball is big in the Philippines, and a Filipino dude I know said that he hated playing basketball with other Filipinos because it was so rough.
Right. I actually think it was the Philippines now that you bring it up, which is crazy. So Filipino basketball, would that be the winner?
Filipino basketball.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast. I was listening to some new music the other day and a song by some country artist named Owen Riesling. I don't even know how to pronounce his name, to be honest with you, but it was a country song that came up, and the song was called Bud Light Up the Way. And I was like, you're kidding me, right? Like, Bud Light Up the Way.
Holy crap. Some of these country songs are just getting so lazy.
I was like, come on. Like, that's one way to try and get free booze, I guess. Just shoehorn that Bud Light right into the title that.
We did this just recently with vehicle brands, right?
Crap.
Because of that Doobie Brothers cover, but it's Chevrolet instead of Driftway.
Mm-hmm. Bud Light
Up. Bud Light Up the Way. It's rough.
Yeah. I have a quick clip if you'd like to hear it. Just yet.
I don't know if I do.
I can be a pain in a glass, more empty than half full. When I can't get through to no one else, sometimes I have to
wait.
Let a bud light up the heavy.
He started with Pain in the Glass, and it was all downhill from there.
Pain in the Glass. Yep. The whole song's like that. I was just like, okay.
Bud Light up the way.
Bud Light up the way. We can do this, too, if we wanted to. Shoehorn some more of these in here.
We definitely can. And I got to say, I think I did way better than Owen Riesling.
Well,
in fact, I'm pretty proud of my performance here. This is one of the categories I think I've really excelled at.
So, okay, good, good. All right.
Pumping my own tires. But
that's fine. Yeah, I'm going to, this is a bad one, but Carry On My Wayward Mole Son.
I like that.
By Kansas.
It's
okay.
No worse than Owens.
Go, okay. Good, good.
Heine, Can You Feel the Love Tonight?
Oh, I love that. I love Big Rock and Roll. That's a local one.
PB, Are You Gonna Be My Girl?
Oh, that's good. Jagged Little Pilsner.
I had Jagged Little Pilsner too.
That's a great one, you know?
Nice. High five.
Yes, good for that.
Labatt Out of Hell.
That's good. Samuel Adams song.
Oh.
Instead of Adams song, get it? Yeah.
This one, you kind of have to sing it for it to work, but it's okay. Can You Take Me Anheuser?
Oh. That's good. Baby Bud Light My Fire.
Okay, yeah.
I mean, that's similar to Vain.
Guinnessence by Harlequin.
Oh my God. I Took a Pilsner and a Ibiza. I don't know if you know that song.
I do know that one. Mike Posner, right?
Yeah, that's a good one.
Michael Jackson's Miller. Because this is Miller, Miller Light.
This one you kind of have to sing too, but I like big butter ripple schnapps and I cannot lie.
That's not beer. That's not beer.
You can also do I Like Big Butt Chugs if we want to just... And I cannot lie.
Okay, that's beer.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
I was messaging back and forth with a friend of the show, Irwin. He's a big fan of alternative country.
Oh.
And he's turned me on to some alternative country artists, like even like Zach Bryan, long before anybody really knew about Zach Bryan.
Totally.
He was there first, Irwin.
Oh.
But he made this playlist of all these like old country songs, and he sent it to me to listen to. And he said, you just have to like search his name in Apple Music and it'll come up. So I did. And then he's like, if you notice the other stupid playlist called Songs I'll Wreck Your Downstairs To, it's a joke playlist I made for my girlfriend when I met her years ago.
That's hilarious.
And the playlist is called Songs I'll Wreck Your Downstairs Too.
I love that so much. That is, I'm going to start a playlist immediately with that same name.
So let's take a listen to what's on
this,
please. There's quite a few, but I picked out a few of my favorite selections. This is the first song on the playlist.
Oh my God.
I'd been married a long time ago. Where did you come?
Phenomenal.
This is Irwin's lovemaking playlist.
That's really sexy right there.
What else
does
he have?
Sweat, baby, sweat, baby. Sex is a Texas drought.
It's got Bloodhound Gang.
Yeah, of course. Classic.
This one was unlike any of the other songs on the playlist.
Oh, my God. That is...
Celine.
I'm going to wreck my downstairs solo to this one for sure.
Then there was
oh yeah,
wow,
oh my God, that's amazing.
It sounds like a date with Irwin has some real ups and downs.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast. Is Irwin single, by the way?
I don't know. He said that playlist was for his girlfriend when they started dating. He didn't say ex-girlfriend.
Oh, okay.
So I would assume maybe not. Why do you ask?
Well, Melissa messaged in and she was laughing. And I was like, Irwin's sex playlist? And she said, oh, yeah, All By Myself and DMX. What a masterpiece. Clearly both the man and his playlist. And I was like, oh, I wonder if he's single. What a, did a little matchmaking there, but he's probably not.
That would have been nice.
Mm-hmm. Melissa, I'll let you know, though.
Irwin sounds like he's got a good sense of humor.
He does. Yeah, he does.
Speaking of playlists, we have a playlist for the Out of Bed Banger. And I think I said I was going to drop that in the description of the last time we mentioned it in the podcast, and I don't think I did.
Nope.
So I'll do that today, unless, of course, I forget once again.
Which, I mean, it could happen, but no.
We would like to give a shout-out if we could.
Yes, Landon.
Friend of the show, Landon, he was doing some sprinkler work on the building here last week.
Yes.
And I think you and I both separately had good conversations with Landon.
Totally. And then I said that I was going to talk to or mention him in the pissed and forgot. So I'm so sorry, Landon, but it was so awesome to chat with you. You seem like an awesome guy.
Landon was asking me how McKenna's doing, and I said that she's, you know, she's improved quite a bit since her health scare. And then we got talking. His family has been through some health issues as well. And I won't go into detail just in case Landon doesn't want that made public, but we said, you know, it's kind of amazing. Like, so many people have these experiences and just kind of keep on trucking. You wouldn't really know. People have all kinds of stuff going on, which I think is maybe a good reminder. You know, if you come across someone who's having a bad day, you don't know what's going on in that person's life, right?
Totally. Yeah, it's funny because that was part of what inspired when I was talking about one of the most impressive things about human personality traits as well, resiliency. And it is crazy because people deal with so much stuff and you don't realize how resilient you really are until you are in it. And you every day do kind of keep putting one foot in front of the other and you're like, okay. And then you step back and when you get out of it again, I think it's like, holy crap, like that was a lot.
Yeah. And then, you know, I meet someone like Landon and, you know, what he described to me as bad as McKenna's thing was, I was like, well, I think yours sounds a lot worse. So like that too, right?
Perspective also.
Perspective. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But it's always great to meet friends of this show.
It is.
So nice to meet you, Landon. And we're all able to listen to this show and be here because of Shane Holmes. Shane Holmes offers affordable customization on their homes. We've told you all about their affordable customization.
We have.
Normally, if you're going to design a custom home, it's very expensive. Like, that's something that's kind of reserved for high net worth individuals. But not with Shane Holmes. Like, I think most of the homes they've ever built have had elements of them customized, of the floor plan and stuff.
I always often think about what I would do with the customization, and there's so many different options. Like, we've talked about having a boot room, having like a designated snowboarding room, and that kind of thing would be so much fun too. And there's always so many ways you could just get really creative with that. Hey, like,
and I love when people make their houses unique. You know, like, I recently did that video where my family drove around to some of the most unique houses in Calgary. And I've done a couple of these videos now. They're on our social media accounts if you care to see it. But, you know, I live in a neighborhood where everyone's houses look the same and the floor plans are all the same. And I like when people individualize their houses.
Totally.
So I like when they customize them.
Yeah.
And I think Shane Holmes likes that too. Mm-hmm. Learn more about them at ShaneHolmes.com. Shane Holmes.
The better way to build.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I don't know if you'll remember this or not, but a while back on our segment Small Town News, we featured this segment from Airdrie, this news story where someone had stolen the bench from outside the Legion.
Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that.
There was a bench that the veterans liked to sit on, and it was stolen. A brazen crime rocked the community.
Right.
And we talked about this on Small Town News. And then friend of the show, Matthew, who had originally submitted that story to us, sent an update.
Oh.
There is an update to this story. Here's the headline from Discover Airdrie. Missing Legion bench mystery has been solved.
Oh, damn.
So they found out what happened to the bench.
What happened to it?
A Legion member took it to fix it up.
Oh, okay.
And then brought it back, looking better.
Well, thank God we've gotten to the bottom of that one.
I mean, I don't know.
That is.
I don't know what the investigation cost the community.
I'm not sure. It was quite some time, though, that took them to discover this.
Sure did. And I wonder, the person who took it trying to do something nice.
Yep.
And then saw it in the news, is reported as stolen. And everyone was like, who would steal from the Legion? That's awful.
It's like me. I'm a member. the bench was in rough shape, guys. Is that cool? Or
I wonder if they were just sweating the whole time they saw this in the news. Like, oh, man.
It took them this long to come forward. They're like, I'm going to go to jail.
Well, the bench wasn't ready.
Oh, my God.
They have before and after photos of the bench here. And the person did a nice job. Yeah, it's nice and restored. It looks great.
Perfect. So I'm so glad we got... I'm glad we got to the bottom of that one.
Case closed.
Good.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
Etymology with Shauna.
Friend of the show, Liam, asked me to look into the etymology of why we say P-U when you stink.
When you smell something that stinks?
Yeah.
It's a very cartoonish reaction, isn't it?
It really is.
P-U.
P-U. It's actually been around for a really long time, though. But back in the 17th century, a common word for a foul odor was P-U, but P-Y-O-O. And so it was just a word that's P-U. And then when something smelled really bad, people would just emphasize it. So that's why they would say it P-U. They would say it that way and kind of extend it out like that if it was a really gross odor. And then,
was it a noun or an adjective?
It was
like someone made a pew. Is that how you'd use it?
it would be just a smell. Like, or so it'd be like
declaration,
a declaration of that smells foul, it would pew. But then eventually over time we just shortened it to p.u. That's how we use it now. It came from though that word pew, the full word came from the Latin putio, which
I know where we're going.
Same root as putrid.
Putrid. Yes.
Yeah.
All right. I'm starting to be able to see where this is going, you know,
There's always roadmaps, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy how you go down. But yes, that all came from that same route. But then from there, that kind of is where that part ends. But then I was looking into other smells and the words that we use for those and where we got those words. So the word reek originally was just a verb meaning to smoke. So over time, the connotation to smell bad came from the smell of smoke.
Okay.
The word funk, meaning a bad smell, like that has a real funk to it. That has been around a really long time as well. It was back in the 1500s. We used to use funk to mean a bad smell. Long before it was a genre of music. But that too came from the French word funkier, which also meant to smoke.
Oh.
So it seems like this fairly recent thing that we hate the smell of smoke and people are very, you know, open about not liking that smell these days. But no, it's been a thing for a long, long time. Smoke has always been associated with a negative smell.
So the genre funk, does it take its name from that word?
From smoking?
From like a bad smell?
I was going to look into that too. And I don't know. I haven't dug that deep into things yet, but I'm going to have to get into that now. But I know that the genre of music funk is fairly recent. Like we didn't start using that till the 60s.
Right.
So I don't know if it was because people used to smoke in the clubs and there was something funky about the, it's all looking all that for you.
I like to think that it's because when you hear something funky enough, you get that sort of face.
The same as the smoke.
You get that stink
smell.
Face, that funk. Oh, what is that?
Or like you're sniffing.
Ooh. You can sort of taste the groove on your tongue.
Ooh, yeah.
That is funky.
That is a funky, funky smell and sound. Etymology
with Shauna.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
A friend of mine is dating an American and her girlfriend just got Canadian citizenship. So she got her a welcome basket full of a bunch of Canadian stuff.
The classics,
ketchup, chips, all that sort of thing.
Yep.
I thought that was a nice idea.
Totally.
But I thought we could dial it in even more precisely, though. Mm-hmm. What would you get for someone who just moved to Calgary? Let's say you had a friend who just moved here. You've been living here for a decade now.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, you want to give a welcome basket for this person. Welcome to Calgary. What goes in the basket?
First off, a humidifier.
Oh, that's a good one.
It's drier in the fart here. So I'd be like, yeah, here's a humidifier for you.
Along with that, some heavy duty lip chap.
Absolutely.
And O'Keefe's working hands.
Absolutely. I was going to say real good moisturizer, all of that stuff. Because how dry it is here.
That's a really good one.
Yes. Yes.
A windbreaker of sorts.
Mm-hmm. Some ice cleats or something to deal with when the freeze thaw happens and there's ice spikes. In the ground, you're going to die. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'll also, with the windbreaker, I would like to specify that it needs to be one of like the outdoor brands, because you need to show that you do spend your weekends in the mountains.
Yeah.
So it's got to be Arc'teryx, Patagonia, Helly Hansen, North Face, one of those big ones, right?
Probably some Lulus to go with that as well, right? Because you practically walk around here, but then you're also ready for a hike at any point.
In case a hike just drops on you. Someone's like, hey, let's go hiking.
Yeah, you're like, I'm ready.
Let's go.
Here.
I already got my gear
on. And practical
on.
Running shoes to go with it, obviously.
I've got a Clif Bar in my backpack.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Let's go.
Yes.
What else?
Probably some plaid as well. A Stampede outfit, right?
I thought of that. That's a really good one because, I mean, I've lived here for almost 10 years now.
Yeah.
And I don't really have a Stampede outfit. Like, I don't have a cowboy hat. I don't have cowboy boots because it just seems like a lot of money to spend for the one time a year I go out wearing it.
I got used cowboy boots and they're fantastic.
That's a good way to do it.
Yeah, I've lost it forever. So, yes, definitely just a staple Stampede outfit. Could be the basic hat, maybe some boots.
If I was gifted Daisy
that'd
be
Dukes.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that kind of thing.
A jug of washer fluid?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Ice melter salt?
Probably a gift card for some rock chip repairs as well.
That's a great one.
Mm-hmm.
That is a really strong
one. And hail coverage, actually.
Welcome to Calgary. I upgraded your insurance package
You'll
for hail coverage.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
We were talking about supercars yesterday, and a friend of the show, Kinder, messaged us with some insight because basically I was asking for advice on what supercar to maybe drive on this track when I go to Vegas. I was thinking about maybe doing that this time around. So everybody was very passionate and gave some great insight. And Kinder says, McLaren tends to be a favorite for car fans. And then he said, true exotics are brands like Koenigsegg and Pagani, or however you even say it. I don't know how to say it.
I think you're Pagani. Right there.
And then he said, Porsches are a poor man's supercar.
Mm.
When I read all of this, did anything stick out to you here, Beckler?
Is it, are you detecting a little car snobbery?
Supercar snobbery.
Kinder is a big car guy.
For sure. I know him,
so he knows his cars.
Yes, and he was the only one who was providing insight like this. Lots of people had a little bit of snobbery in their determinations.
You know, it's funny because, I mean, people do get like that. Most of us will never own or drive any of these cars, right?
Totally not.
I noticed this too on, like if there's on social media, like a real high end real estate listing, yeah, like someone's giving you a tour of a $5 million house or whatever, and people will pick it apart. Like,
yeah,
it's like, well, none of us are ever going to live there, right? Let's not pretend that we're too good for this place. So.
It's true. Yeah. Yeah. Very true.
But it's the supercar snobbery. Mm-hmm. That's what you detected, hey?
That's what it is. Yeah.
Yes, that car is all right. Fairly common for a supposed supercar.
There's no way you could handle the nuts of that car, and unfortunately, it doesn't come with training wheels.
Well, if it was mass-produced, it's not worthy of the title. I'm only interested in cars painstakingly hand-assembled by a European craftsman.
Ah, yes, my Ferrari purrs like a cat. Yours croaks like a frog.
Supercars are for the almost poor. I exclusively drive hypercars.
This isn't just a car. It's a religious experience. Once your foot touches the pedal, you hear the voice of God.
Yes, listen to the exhaust note of my supercar.
Oh, my.
And Shauna podcast.
Friend of the show, Beth, sent us a song that she thought we'd really appreciate, Beckler. It involves panties. So, of course, it's one of those things. People hear panties and think of us. It's beautiful.
Great.
This is called the Panty Thrift Shop song.
The Panty Thrift Shop?
Just think about panties that are in thrift shops.
I'm thinking about that right now.
This gentleman, he wrote a song about
it. Oh, I think I've seen this. Okay, yeah, play it. It's really funny.
Yeah, it is.
Have you ever been at the thrift store and you walk by the
thrift shop panty rack, holding panties of the past? Whispers linger on the panty rack of panties outcast. Mm-hmm. What stories do they tell? These worn bikini briefs, strangers, dirty intimates, thongs soaked in grease.
And it continues on from there. It's an entire song about what happened. It is true.
I have thought that before.
Me too.
Yeah.
The fact that they sell used panties is just not a thing. I mean, and then of course you go to Japan and they say they have full vending
machines.
For a
different reason. Yeah.
Yes, but the used panties, like who buys the used panties?
I don't know,
panties?
Man. And like, they're not that much cheaper than new panties,
no.
Right? Just...
No,
I would buy a lower quality panty than a used thrifted panty.
That's you can get sweet deals on panties that are the same cost as the thrift shop panties. I would just say if you're going to choose one or the other, I'd maybe go for the new ones, okay?
I'm shocked that they even do that.
Oh,
can you play a little more of that song for us?
Yeah, here. Let's just reverse back to the favorite here. Okay, ready?
Thrift store and you walk by the
thrift shop panty rack, holding panties of the past. Whispers linger on the panty rack of panties outcast. What stories do they tell? These worn bikini briefs.
Check your panties.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Check your panties.
The Beckler and Shauna podcast.
I have another dad badge.
Oh, good.
Really a parent badge more generally. It's not specific to dads.
Okay.
When a parent is cooking something for their kid and they burn it, because they usually, and that happens often because they usually have a bunch of other things going on at the same time.
Yep, absolutely.
They will plate it with the burnt side down in an attempt to fool the kid into thinking it isn't burnt.
Yep.
And it never works. Mm-hmm. My parents used to do it to me.
Yep.
I do it to my own kids now. If I burn a grilled cheese or pancakes or something, the burnt side goes down.
Yeah.
You can taste it as soon as you bite into it. You know it's burnt.
Mm-hmm. Do you ever try and scrape off the burnt?
No, can you do that?
Yeah, like with a grilled cheese or something? Yeah, off the toast. You can scrape really? Off the burnt parts. Yep. Yeah.
That's sand down your grilled cheese?
100%. That's the desperate last-ditch attempt that a parent can do to try and save it from the burnt, but doesn't really work very well. You can still taste it.
Neither does hiding the burn. No. All this is buy you a few extra seconds until they realize it's burnt.
Yeah, it's true.
And yet we continue to do it.
Yep. That's when you're a kid and you look at your parents. How stupid do you think I am? Really? I know this is burnt. Unacceptable. Try it again.
The Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
An Alberta heritage moment.
You probably know that many of Calgary's major roadways have Indigenous names, or at least pay homage to the original inhabitants of Alberta. Deerfoot Trail, for example, is named after famous Siksika long-distance runner Deerfoot Badmeat, who is known most famously for winning the 1886 Calgary Star Rink Endurance Race.
He also used to act as a courier from different forts. He would travel all the way from the Northwest Territories to Montana to deliver messages on foot. So that's where Deerfoot Trail comes from. But this is the story of the name origin of another major north-south freeway in Calgary, Shaganappy Trail.
Shaganappy is a Cree word that means rawhide lacing or flayed cord. This is the material that was used to make dog sled harnesses and hold ox carts together. It was an important material in the development of this part of Canada, as it was used by both Indigenous and non-Indigenous peoples for many different reasons.
Think of it as the duct tape of early settlement. It took on the role of leather, cloth, rope, nail, glue, straps, and tape. It was said that without Shaganappy, ox carts would have been far more clumsy and less robust, and ox carts were quite important to the first peoples out this way.
Shaganappy is made by cleaning the raw hide of bison and cutting it into long strips. The raw hide was sometimes braided to make it even stronger, or greased or pounded to flatten it further. The fact that Shaganappy was used on ox carts also plays significance in why we call it Shaganappy Trail.
Calgary is unique in labeling its major roadways trail, and it is in fact a tribute to the original ox cart trails that early settlers used to travel. So next time you're stuck in traffic on Shaganappy, be glad you're in the comfort of a vehicle and not sitting on an ox cart.
This has been an Alberta Heritage Moment.
You've been listening to the Beckler and Shauna Podcast.
Brought to you by Shane Holmes, offering affordable customization on your new home.
You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's Alternative, X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have Beckler and Shauna downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.